The topic for this episode of the Michigan District Thought Leader Podcast is the power of the promise. In this podcast, Todd Jones addresses the issue of the lack of engagement in our children and youth ministry. While there are many aspects to this challenge, Todd will approach the topic in this podcast by framing the question, how does Sunday school or children's ministry and youth ministry benefit our children? The podcast will conclude with challenge discussion questions that can facilitate further conversation with your leadership team.
Welcome. I'm Todd Jones with the Michigan District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Today we're going to talk about the power of the promise. The podcast is framed in the context of children's and youth ministry. However, the content can easily be generalized to the larger picture of the ministry of your church or school. The goal of the topic is to give you a new lens through which you and your leaders can evaluate and refine how you get people involved in your ministry. This new lens is the lens of the promise. We are not always aware that it is happening when it's happening, but our purchase decisions are largely based on the framework of the promise. We choose our toothpaste because of the promise of whiter teeth or fresher breath. We choose where we live because of the promise of better schools, in other words, better success for our children, or because of friendly neighbors and therefore an improved social life. In the marketing world, this can be called selling the benefits, as compared to the older marketing method of selling features. Selling the features of the car would focus on the interior amenities, the safety record, the craftsmanship of the car's condition. In contrast, advertising, which focuses on selling cars by focusing on benefits, will show you pictures of a silver-haired retiree cruising down a winding seaside road with a beautiful young woman in the passenger seat. Or they will show neighbors enviously ogling the new car that is sitting in your driveway. Currently, you can see this contrast between Chevy with its fake focus group ads and Lincoln with its emphasis on celebrity spokespeople. While there is still some debate on the matter, generally marketing people have come to realize that you need to hook the heart of the consumer before you speak to their head. There is a place to talk about features, but that's after the consumer has made the purchase decision. And most consumers make their purchase decisions based on their emotions, not their intellect. I began to see the connection between this marketing trend and the church when my daughter joined a club soccer team. She had been invited to be on the team, but our rules about being in church on Sunday and attending youth group meant that she didn't get sucked too far into the black hole of competitive sports. I remember going to the first meeting of parents and coaches. First, it's important to note that many of the parents had spent hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars to get their girls to the point that they were on the team. Second, shortly after the meeting began, the coaches laid out the frequency of practices, the work expectations they had for the girls, and their expectations for the parents. They expected the parents to participate in a minimum of 6 fundraising events each season. They were to take turns bringing refreshments of fresh fruit and bottled water with electrolytes. As the coach droned on, I couldn't help but think about the contrast between this group of parents and the parents that I often met in the church. I couldn't remember a church where I saw a gathering of adults who were that eager to be invested in the lives of their children. Most often in the church, we have to make the event as entertaining as possible, as low commitment as possible, in order to get the few people that do show up to show up. I thought about and studied the differences between the two groups and have concluded that the primary difference between the two groups is the promise. Now first, before anyone gets their panties in a wad and accuses me of failing to recognize the spiritual battle in the church, I do completely agree that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh does not want us to engage in the faith, and they're more than happy to let us play soccer all the way to hell. However, I also want to point out that our three spiritual enemies are no match for the Holy Spirit working through the means of grace. Yes, absolutely, there is a spiritual battle at work. However, our failure to consider the promise we make to our members in children's ministry or youth ministry becomes a rally point for the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. It's used against us. Let me explain. It was a promise that drove the high level of engagement in the club soccer. The details of the promise varied between participants, but could be generalized to the promise of a better future for participants. The better future might be in the promise of college scholarships. It might be in the glory and popularity of being a superstar athlete, or it might be the bond of lifelong friendship. The specifics are not important and rarely articulated. What is important is that the parents believed the promise that the club league soccer would have a lasting, positive effect on their daughters. In fact, they were so convinced that they invested thousands of dollars and man hours to help the club league deliver on the promise. The tepid response of parents, and perhaps parishioners, is partly a response to their lack of confidence in the church or ministry and its ability to deliver on a promise that they care about. I believe there are two reasons for this lack of confidence. First, most churches don't know what they're promising parents or members. Second, when a promise is made, whether explicit or implicit, it's not a promise they care about. It doesn't engage the members. Let's take the two in order. First, most churches don't know what they're promising parents or members. At its heart, the promise is the answer to the question, why should I care about our children's ministry? Why should I care about being in church every Sunday or going to Bible class or participating in youth group? Now, we rarely talk about the answer to these questions. Perhaps it's because we assume everyone knows the answer to the questions. Perhaps it's that we believe that to raise such a question is a sign of apostasy or spiritual immaturity. Perhaps it's because we don't know the answer. Unfortunately, we won't experience the strong level of engagement that comes with a clearly defined promise when we fail to understand and answer the question, why do we do Sunday school? Why should my child choose youth group over sports or band? Why should I come to church every Sunday or be in Bible class? Second, when a promise is made, whether explicit or implicit, it's not a promise that engages the members. We're likely to say something like, you should have your child in Sunday school so they can learn about God and their Christian faith. That's a great start, but only a start because it begs the question, if I do nothing and God does everything in salvation, why do I need to know more about God and the Christian faith? If I know the gospel, isn't that enough? We might tell the parents, get your children to Wednesday night youth program. They'll have fun and make new friends. To which they may respond, they have friends, and there's plenty of time for fun. We want our children to thrive in their future. We want them to work on their soccer. You see, when we see it from the parents' perspective, they aren't the lazy, disengaged people that we often think they are. They've chosen a difficult and costly path for themselves and their children, but a path they believe will benefit their children's future. You're only offering them fun, games, food, friends, and useless knowledge. We might tell our members that the reason why they should attend Sunday service is because the Bible tells us not to forsake the gathering of the saints, as some have done and made shipwreck of their faith, which is a truthful statement and a biblically sound statement, and is totally the law. And remember, the law kills. It will get people to church, but it won't get them engaged. That's the work of the gospel, the promise. Now, I'm not just raising a problem for you to ponder, though I hope you do more pondering than just the fleeting thoughts of this podcast. I'm raising this question and offering discussion points for you to challenge your children's ministry team, your board of education, and your board of elders. The challenge is to arrive at a promise that resonates with members of your congregation. Here are some questions for you to consider. What is the outcome, the benefit that your children's ministry, youth ministry, or Sunday services will provide for your children, youth, and general membership? How does Sunday school equip children for greater success in life? How does youth group equip the participants for greater success in life? How does your Sunday service add value to the everyday lives of the participants? Now, I want to briefly touch on some pitfalls that might take place as you gather people in your church to answer the questions. Firstly, if the answer to any of the questions are economic or social benefits, we've fallen into the trap of the theology of glory. While the confessions described the theology of glory as the belief that our works merit salvation, today that theology has been extended to the belief that true Christians will prosper physically and materially, and that poor health or poverty are a sign of weak faith. The theology of glory is a cancer to global Christianity. It is not as prominent here in the U.S., but it is a significant danger to be avoided. Secondly, if we extend a promise that appeals to the flesh, we're contributing to the consumerism which is actually a more civilized and refined version of the theology of glory. Thirdly, if our answer is something that is actually beyond our control, something that we have no way to deliver, we're not extending a promise, we're making a wish. To fall into this trap is to set up a person to lose their faith and their connection to the church when the participant realizes that they've bought into a lie. I could speak a great deal more about the pitfalls, but I want to leave a little bit of the topic for future podcasts. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to think about what's already been said, consider it, and discuss it amongst your leadership in your church. However, I do want to end on a positive and encouraging note. God's Word is full of promises that God extends to us. Our faith touches every aspect of our lives. It's not like God only cares about our life after death. He cares deeply for us and for our children, and for our lives in the present, into the future, and beyond. He invites us to grow in the Word and in worship that we might experience an abundant life. John 10:10. If we want to get a higher level of involvement and deeper engagement in our ministries, we need to be able to articulate the promise extended to all people. I'm Todd Jones of the Michigan District. Thank you for listening to today's podcast on the topic of the promise. If you'd like to have a discussion about this topic or need further clarification, you can connect with me via email at todd.jones@michigandistrict.org or call the district office. Have a great day in the Lord.